Good morning. Welcome to Out on a Limb with KLBJ's Tom Spencer. Got a question about anything related to your landscape or garden? Call or text Tom right now at 512-836-0590.
Well, good morning. It's Cheryl McLaughlin here, still substituting for Mr. Spencer. And we're here to answer your questions. We've already got a caller online. I'm going to go to him in just a second. But if y'all want to join the show, you can call or text 512-836-0590 or toll-free line is 877-590-5525. Let's go to Horseshoe Bay. Hey, Brad, thanks for waiting.
Oh, good morning, Cheryl. Appreciate being able to call you about this little vine that's kind of got me concerned. It's a pretty little vine, but I've got a Texas mountain laurel. It's about 4.5 feet tall, and it's about 5 years old, and it's doing great. It's always been great. And a couple of growing seasons ago, I noticed this vine, and then I looked in a book I have, Trees, Shrubs, and Vines of the Texas Hill Country by Jan Reed, and I was just close to 100% sure I had identified it on page 176, Snapdragon Vine. But boy, the second season, it got more aggressive, and then these rains we've had in September, and this vine, as you see the picture, it just seems like it's taken over the tree, and I've started tearing it down on one side so the mountain laurel, half of its leaves can get sun.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just wondering if I ought to just, it's a pretty vine, and this book says it's a good landscape plant, but I sure would appreciate hearing what you have to say about it.
First of all, it is not Snapdragon Vine. It's Lindheimer's Morning Glory, and it is much more aggressive than Snapdragon Vine, which is a beautiful little vine. If you can find it, it's a really nice plant. It's a native. Lindheimer's Morning Glory is a very aggressive grower, and it's hard to get rid of it, but if you're going to do it, if you want to save your mountain laurel from it, you're going to have to go down and try to get it out by the roots below the plant, or at least cut off wherever you can find it starting up the plant.
I'll get it.
Yeah, you can get it off. But yeah, it'll probably come back, but if you keep your eyes on it, it gets really crazy in the fall. That's its time to shine. In fact, I was going to talk about it today because I'd started seeing it blooming everywhere, just driving around, you know. But you want to keep it. Probably won't kill your mountain laurel, but it's sure not doing it any favors.
Yeah. Okay. Well, boy, I sure appreciate it. I'm gonna get that. Yeah, okay. I'll get that thing out of there.
All right. Well, good luck, and thank you for calling KLBJ today, Brad.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Cheryl.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff blooming right now, which we can talk about. I'm a landscape designer and builder, and my company is called Kevin Wood Landscapes. And we do specialize in these native plants. We also will use non-native but well-adapted plants in our designs and our landscapes. And we can... we customize every single landscape. There's never going to be two landscapes that we do that are the same because it's all based on your location, your soil type, your desires. You know, we want to do what you want to do, and if it's possible, we shall do it. But check us out if you want to consider a project. It's kevinwoodlandscapes.com. And we also do irrigation and lighting and, you know, construction projects. We build a lot of stuff. And it's just really a great career, I guess you could say. I love the before and after aspects of it. And but this program is devoted to your considerations. So I'll give you the numbers and you can call or text. Like that guy texted me that picture. And I knew immediately it wasn't what he thought it was, Snapdragon Vine. But sometimes it's hard if you're just flipping through a book, and sometimes the pictures aren't great. But I will tell you a great book, and I've said it on this show a million times, and I'm not getting paid to promote this book, but it's one of the best books you could ever have for identifying things, and it's called Wildflowers of the Texas Hill Country by Marshall Enquist, Enquist. It is just so well done. And it's not just wildflowers. It's pretty much anything that blooms. There's blooming trees in here, blooming shrubs in here. But the background of every photo is black. And Marshall set up a little photography studio in the back of his vehicle, his van, and he would put these plants against this black background and take very good close-up pictures showing you all the leaves, the flowers, the stems. And, I mean, you can flat identify stuff out of this book. I carry it with me all the time. Okay, 512-836-0590 or toll-free 877-590-5525. And you can, again, text if you wish to that number. So everything is looking so pretty right now, y'all. You know, last few weeks we had people calling, oh, my lantana's not blooming. Mine wasn't either. This and that's looking bad. Well, of course, all it took was a little break in the temperatures and some, you know, rain. And, man, my lantanas are going crazy. My new gold lantanas are blooming like crazy. The orange bush lantanas are. Everything is looking good. Even my society garlic just erupted with a new bloom cycle. My firecracker fern went crazy, and it's just covered with flowers right now. So pretty. And I've noticed that the evergreen sumacs are starting to bloom, and that is critical because migrating butterflies and resident butterflies alike feed on that plant. They don't lay their, the monarchs, of course, use the butterfly weed as a larval plant, but for nectar, they love the evergreen sumac, and they're so pretty. So that's going on. A few other things I noticed blooming that you'll probably wonder what they are if you're driving by, and we'll talk about those in a second, but we have a caller online from Smithville, and if y'all want to join the show, 512-836-0590 or toll-free 877-590-5525. Hey, Connie, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you, Cheryl?
Good.
What's I'm enjoying going? The cooler temperatures.
Yes, it's awesome.
I don't have a plant question today, but I was wondering, I'm contemplating maybe putting up a partial privacy fence in the backyard.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what you would recommend as far as wood. You know, treat it pine or cedar, or what would you recommend?
Well, cedar is incredibly durable. Treated pine will last a very long time as well. We do a lot of fences with ipé, which is that it's expensive, but man, that stuff lasts forever. But if you're on a budget or you just want to spend your money on something else, I'd go straight for cedar.
Okay, that's what I was leaning towards.
Yeah, and it looks good, but it's very, very durable.
And do you have to stain it or?
It's up to you. It's up to you. I'd let it weather for a while before I did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot of clients like to power wash it every couple years and put a new stain on it. It's a lot of work. If you don't, you know, it's just going to turn gray.
Well, you know, I think there's a fence or two here in town that is cedar, and it's turned, you know, the natural graying color, and I kind of like that.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Even ipé turns gray, and I've got a deck made out of it, and two decks, actually.
So and what is ipé? What is
it? It is a renewable Brazilian hardwood. It grows very, very fast, and it is so dense that you cannot hammer a nail into it. The reason it's expensive, and I'm going to have to do a break here. Are our breaks real long today? No? Just short? You have to pre-drill each hole and screw it together, you know. Huh. You also have to cut it with a diamond blade saw because it's so dense, but that's why it doesn't rot.
Oh.
So, I consider it, but let me just tell you, it's not cheap.
Okay.
So, cedar will take
like
you.
Maybe cedar.
Yeah, it'll
cedar
take
is,
you years. Cedar.
I'm thinking cedar is more expensive than pine, though, right?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I just make some calls, but, you know, call one of the fence companies and And they'll do it with both. But if it was me, I'd probably do the cedar.
Okay. And then, you know, last week y'all were talking about squirrels and bird feeders.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to tell you a little story. I have a bird feeder that's on a tall metal pole, and the squirrel can climb up that thing like a monkey.
Mm-hmm.
But if you smear, like, Vaseline or grease on there, it's nothing funnier than seeing the squirrel crawl up and then slide down.
They are amusing. So, hey, I got to do this break. Okay. But thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye. We'll be right back.
This is Out on a Limb with KLBJ's Tom Spencer. You can call or text Tom right now at 512-836-0590.
Okay, we are back. I'm Cheryl McLaughlin. I'm filling in for Tom. And if you guys want to call in and talk about your landscapes, your garden, what have you, here are the numbers again, 512-836-0590. And I've got a couple of texts I will be addressing here shortly. And you can also use the toll-free line at 877-590-5525. So text first one is, it says, I have this plant growing everywhere. Did not die off during the summertime. Is this regular clover or is it another weed that looks like clover? And what it is our native oxalis. And the yellow one is Oxalis delinii, and it's also known as yellow wood sorrel. And yes, that's what you have. It's the regular one. It looks like clover. Of course, it's not technically clover, but it does tend to come and go. It's unusual for it to persist all summer, but I guess the conditions just happen to be right for it, and it probably will continue to bloom throughout the fall. That the little yellow one that you've got here is the Oxalis delinii. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, Oxalis, or what people call this clover, it's a nitrogen-fixing plant. You've probably heard me say that before, but a lot of people call in and they want to try to get rid of it. But the truth is it's doing you a favor. It's fixing nitrogen in the soil. So sometimes, I mean, if these things are a problem, it's just an indicator that you might need to maybe fertilize a little bit in your turf grass. But where you have it, it doesn't look like it's in a turf area. So it's not, I don't think it's a problem at all. Okay, text number two is something I can't really identify. What is this? It's growing at the base of my oak tree. Brandy, I'm not really sure what it is, but I'll tell you what it could be, what I'm thinking is possible. It looks like a truffle, really, if you want the truth. But what it also looks like is a root of a yucca. And it could be that this is a dead yucca that used to grow there or a forming yucca. I am not sure, frankly, what this is, but that's what it looks like to me. It doesn't look like any kind of a mushroom, but you may want to send a photo of this to the Master Gardeners at the AgriLife Extension Service and see if anybody else knows what it is. Maybe the people at the Natural Gardener would know, but that's what it looks like to me. It looks like a root of a yucca. So that's about as good as I can, you know, guess here on the radio. Okay, 512-836-0590 or 877-590-5525. Another thing that I was just so happy to see blooming always this time of year is gay feather. And it is it's a fall bloomer. It's a purple spike. So you might be driving by and on the edge of the road, you might see these purple linear, kind of tall purple flowers. And that is gay feather. And it's just a beautiful thing. And it grows from a bulb kind of corm, if you will. So you can buy them. And the corms take many years to form. So like if you were to plant it by seed, it would be many, many years before it would actually bloom for you. So it's much better to try to find it in a nursery scenario where it's already growing and blooming. But you just cannot beat it. And there used to be this huge field of it up on I-35, kind of between, like, around the Yeager Lane area. And I'm telling you, now this has been years. It's, I think, pretty much gone now. But it was a huge field of gay feather. So it must have been like that all over Texas. Don't you wish you could go back sometime to the 1800s and see what it looked like? Oh, my goodness. Fields and fields of flowers everywhere. Okay, let's go to Temple for our next caller. Hey, Roger, how's it going?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a small backyard, typical little cookie cutter neighborhood, all the houses stacked on. I got a little flower garden in the back, and my Pride of Barbados, I guess from last year, threw out some seeds, and I got a couple volunteers, along with, I think, a crepe myrtle, and I have a crepe myrtle in there, and somehow a pecan tree, I think, is starting to grow in there. I was wondering how to, best time or method to transplanting them, or how I should go about that.
Well, how big are, I mean, you know, a pecan tree, is that one of the ones you want to transplant?
Well, I probably should dig it up. It's about 2 feet from the fence. It's probably not really in a good spot. It's right in the center of my flower garden, but I've been kind of leaving it just because I was more curious.
Yeah, to see what it would do.
Yeah.
Well, by the time...
killed a rose.
I'm sorry?
It killed a rose bush already.
Goodness.
I had three little... living easy roses together, and it took out one of them. So I'm probably just going to dig that one up. But as far as the Pride of Barbados and the crepe myrtle, I was kind of really more focused on those.
And how big are each of those?
So the Pride of Barbados, probably 18 inches tall, not even 2 feet. They're pretty young. And the crepe myrtle's about the same. They're only 18 inches tall. They're pretty small.
I really think you could do it right now.
Okay.
I think you can do it right now because we still have all of October, most of all of November, and if we do get a frost, it's going to be a light frost. And then they're both going to go dormant anyway. So I think you have time to get the roots going because, you know, the roots will grow slowly but surely all winter.
Okay, so not put them in the pot and wait till next spring.
You could very much do that. You could put them in a container and, you know, that way you can kind of baby them along till they get a really full root system. Or you could just move them to where you want to in the ground right now.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Cheryl.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Roger. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. 512-836-0590. I just got a text that says, what kind of fertilizer can I spread now to help get rid of the weeds? Well, that would be corn gluten. That's a good fertilizer. It's a good little nitrogen fertilizer, and it's a pre-emergent, an organic pre-emergent. So typically we would wait till a little bit later in October to put it down, though. It's good for about 6 weeks. And the other thing I would just like to say on this subject is if you have a turf yard and you have a lot of weeds, it typically means your grass needs to be nurtured more. And September, even though we're at the very end of September, this is a really good time to do your last fertilizing of your yard, right? A good organic time-release fertilizer, like you remember Ladybug 824. Medina makes an awesome one. Gardenville makes a good one. There's several good organic time-release fertilizers that you could put on right now. The benefit of that is simply that the stronger the turf, the more resistant to weeds. And we can talk more about that, but it's time for the news.
This is Out on a Limb with KLBJ's Tom Spencer. You can call or text Tom right now at 512-836-0590.
Okay, Cheryl McLaughlin here, subbing for Tom. And we are here to answer your questions, listen to your tips, and sometimes answer my questions. So here are the numbers if you want to call or text, 512-836-0590. Or we also have the toll-free line, which is 877-590-5525. So some other things that I always look forward to, blooming in the fall. I mean, there's some wonderful fall blooming plants. We talked extensively about them a couple of weekends ago, and we can talk about those again. But the goldeneye daisy, basically, it's the wild one that blooms in the woods and prolifically, and it's all around my house, and it's getting ready to just burst into blooms. Vicaria dentata is the botanical name, but it is just a beautiful, tall, bushy daisy. It grows in colonies. It's really common on dry caliche soils, which, you know, is a lot of that in the hill country. And it is just a beautiful plant and a definite harbinger of fall. So I look forward to that every year. And the other thing that's so cool will be the Maximilian sunflower. And that is the one that is the tall sunflower that blooms all up and down the linear stems. It's just a beautiful thing. And then goldenrod. Now, that is one of my favorite things. And there are many, I think there's about 5 native species of goldenrod just here in Central Texas. There's even a really cool dwarf one that I've noticed driving around. But the goldenrod that's native around my property is the tall one, the one that gets probably can get up to 5 feet tall. And it has, you know, in years past had a reputation for being an allergen, but it isn't, because it, I mean, I guess you could possibly be specifically allergic to it, but goldenrod does not have windborne pollen. So I think that the problem with it is it blooms at the same time as stuff like ragweed, you know? So it gets a bad rap. But goldenrod is one of those gorgeous fall bloomers that can be a big, tall, beautiful background plant, and then you can have low purple growing in front of it. You know, some of the purple salvias or the fall aster combined with the goldenrod is a beautiful combination, just gorgeous. And then you could throw in some Gulf Muley, the beautiful little grass that blooms purple in the fall. Again, you could have some really beautiful, tall Mexican bush sage. And then you could combine it with some Mexican mint marigold, which is another wonderful fall bloomer. And these are all deer-resistant plants, by the way. That's why I'm really fond of them, because, you know, aside from the fact that I like to create vignettes for different seasons in my designs, I frequently have to deal with deer. And so I've, you know, just grown especially fond of things like Copper Canyon Daisy, another fantastic fall bloomer. But everything is blooming right now, it seems like. I mean, even the Pride of Barbados is going crazy. Everything loved this break in temperatures and this natural rainfall. So it has just revitalized the garden. Oh, another thing that'll be blooming soon is the white mist flower. That, again, one of my favorite things in the whole world. You gotta have some white mist flower. It is also shade tolerant. So I've got it growing wild in the woods around my house, but I've also planted some under my big red oak tree in my front yard. It probably gets a little morning sun, but just a glancing blow, because that tree's gotten so big. I'm running out of sun. Okay, let's talk about your yards instead of mine. 512-836-0590 or toll free 877-590-5525. Remember I was talking a minute ago about that big old field of gay feather that used to grow up near Yeager Lane, Parmer, that area? One of the first times I was driving by and noticed it, what caught my eye first was a car parked there and a woman in the field just cutting everyone she could carry. I assumed later, I thought about this, I didn't realize at the time that gay feather was a popular floral plant for florists. And I would just bet you anything that she was a local florist and she could just, you know, couldn't resist getting some free, gay feathers. But Wow, it was just, it was beautiful. And of course, you know, that would prevent them from setting seed, and, you know, a long-term colony needs seed setting. But since they come back from the quorum, it was probably not going to affect the colony too much. So, okay, 512-836-0590 or toll-free 877-590-5525. Again, this is a real good planting time. So one of the things that we really advocate, as you know well, but if you're new to gardening, is planting trees this time of year. It is much, much easier to establish a tree when you plant it in the fall. Its requirements, of course, are, you know, much less as regards water. I mean, they grow in the summer and very well, and that's a good growing season. But if you really want a much easier establishment of your trees, fall is when you plant them, and it is just the best time of the year. It's also the time of the year to plant roses, believe it or not. It's just an awesome, and the best selection of the antique roses, which are the kinds that I like, come out in the fall. You wouldn't think so, but it's true. So if you've been thinking about putting in an antique rose, go out there and get them in the fall, because they're going to have a really good selection of them. Places like the Natural Gardener, Barton Springs Nursery, some of the local nurseries, Hill Country probably has them. But those are the ones that don't need a whole bunch of fussing with. Okay, let's go to Southwest Austin. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Pretty good, young lady. How about you?
Good, good, good.
I picked up some Pride of Barbados seeds from a person, and I'm trying to, I've never done them in a pot, and I'm trying to figure out, I guess, is this the best time to go ahead and just chunk them in a pot? Is there anything I need to do to them?
You don't really need to pre-treat them. They will possibly come up in a couple of weeks, but they're one of those ones that has a little bit of a hard seed coating on them. You know, they're kind of hard little old seeds. So those kind of seeds can take longer to germinate. So my feeling is go ahead and put them in a pot, or even if you got enough of them, which you probably do, if you can put some in the ground right where you want them.
Okay.
And then, you know, kind of experiment. Put some in the ground, put some in a pot, because, as they weather in the ground, they get cold, they get hot, they get wet, they get dry, blah, blah. It will probably get maybe even a little bit faster germination in the ground, but they don't need any pre-treatment.
Okay. Yeah, I picked up four or five pods off of a bush that was really pretty, and I just said, okay, I'm going to try this. I've always wanted to try it. I just never got around to doing it. So
there's a lot of seeds in those pods.
Oh, okay, well, great. We'll put them in some different pots and try them and see if I can keep the squirrels out of them. And, I have one of those squirrel preventers. It's called a BB gun. We'll work on that. So
okay.
They're nuts. So we'll try it and see what happens, okay?
Yeah, let me know which works
better. All right,
better.
Sure will. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, bye-bye. Hold on, I got a cough. Okay, let's head to San Antonio. Is it Aster? Oh, goodness.
Yes. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. We planted some sod back in the spring, and over this summer, and especially right now, it's starting to turn yellow. It's more yellow than it is green. What do we need to do to get it to go green?
It's a really good time to put on your last fertilizer of the year. So find yourself an organic time-release fertilizer meant for lawns.
Okay.
That's the best thing you can do. A&M did all these extravagant studies on what kind of fertilizers, and they tested the ones from the big box stores, and they tested the organics, and much to their surprise, the organics were better and much more efficient, and plus they're just a lot better on the environment. So I would look for something made by Medina or Ladybug or Gardenville, or, you know, there's several good organic ones.
Now, my husband nights on it. Would it hurt if we put that on right now?
No, it won't hurt anything, but I do want to comment. Ironite is not very effective because of the way it's pelletized. If you want to try get iron into your grass, there's a really good mixture of seaweed with chelated iron, C-H-E-L-A-T-E-D. Chelated iron is the one that is the most effective when we need to add iron. But I think you're going to be fine if you just use the time release organic.
Okay, great.
All right.
We'll try.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling. Okay, time for the last break. Sharon, you'll be first right after this.
This is Out on a Limb with KLBJ's Tom Spencer. You can call or text Tom right now at 512-836-0590.
Okay, we are back, and I'm Cheryl McLaughlin. I'm filling in for Tom, and you can call us at 512-836-0590 or text, but let's get back to those phone lines, and let's head to Northwest Austin. Sharon, it's your turn. Thanks for waiting.
Thanks, Cheryl. Love your show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Good. I've got kind of a weird question. We're replacing a large deck in our backyard. It's about probably 40 by 20. It's built around a stand of native red oak trees.
Mm-hmm.
And while the top is off of that deck, I was wondering if it might be a good idea to put some compost down on the soil around those trees just to keep them healthier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Just I'd put down some compost and maybe even, mulch them.
Okay. And should I put it around the whole area that's exposed now? I mean, the roots are exposed. The roots of the trees are completely exposed. I mean, the base of mm-hmm. the trees are completely exposed. But how about the whole area?
Well, the trunk area is not as important as the area that's, say, 50,
the root.
Yeah, halfway between the trunk and the edge of the canopy.
Okay.
So that's the main feeding area.
Okay.
And you never want to put mulch up around the trunk of the tree, just for those listening. I'm sure you know that. But
yes.
It's not good for the tree to have mulch piled around the base of it. Just think about where a tree would drop its leaves, basically.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Okay, cool. Thanks so much.
Yes,
I appreciate
ma'am.
It.
Appreciate your call.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, who's next? Let's go to Buda. No, it's Northeast Austin. Robert, I'll get you. There's got two Roberts. Robert in Northeast Austin, how you doing?
Morning. Hi. I was just curious. I have a friend that's a hydroponic grower and wondered about a product that he swears by, which is CalMag, which is calcium magnesium combo, whether that would carry over from the hydroponic to outdoor tomato setting, or whether that would be good product for promoting tomato.
That's a good question. I think it would probably be great because the calcium is really good for preventing the blossom end rot. Magnesium is good for pretty much everything.
Yeah, and it comes in combo in liquid form.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I think it'd be worth a try. In fact, I was just advertising that Espoma organic tomato tone product a minute ago.
Yeah, that's
and it's got all that. It's got that same stuff in it.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, cool.
Gotta
all
be good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
It.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to, and if y'all want to join, 512-836-0590. Robert in Buda. How you doing?
Hi. Yes, ma'am. I've got what I'm, we put some Bermuda grass, and it wasn't my choice, but I was told, we put Bermuda grass on a yard that doesn't have a sprinkler system, so that definitely died. I've got a big old oak tree. I'm thinking about, I've got two choices. You can help me out. I know there's a Mary Shade, and also there's Zoysia. I want to put either of those two. First of all, it'd be all right if I just scrape all that Bermuda and keep that soil from that Bermuda, and would that how would that procedure go?
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. Was the Bermuda put down in sod form? The squares?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so that came in on a clay layer, which needs to be broken up a little bit before you put another layer of sod down. Otherwise, you're going to create these little perch levels that, you know, it'll hit the clay, the water will hit the clay and run off instead of soaking in. So the other thing I would say is if the area is mostly shady, the Bermuda probably never thrived. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Yep. Okay. So I think you could, if you just, you know, kind of figure out a way to loosen up that layer that it came in on, then you can just put your new stuff on top of it. And I would go with the Amerishade.
Amerishade.
I love Zoysia the best, but it is, if it's dense shade, it's not going to do well.
Okay. Now, is Amerishade, is that like a St. Augustine kind of family?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is?
It is, absolutely. Okay. St. Augustine. And we don't have a better, you know, we don't have a better turf grass for shade than St. Augustine. And in some cases, it'll even get, over the years, it'll get too shady for even St. Augustine. So then you either trim up the trees and, you know, get a little more light on the subject, or you shift into a shade-loving ground cover. But Amerishade will take a lot of shade. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, and I had somebody call in and say they had had excellent luck with it.
Okay, and also, do you think that once I break up... you know, that soil from that Bermuda, do you recommend me getting some dirt on it, maybe a half inch or an inch dirt? Or
it's always good to add soil. Always good.
Okay.
The deeper the soil, the better.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling KLBJ today. Okay. 512-836-0590. Let us go to the text now. Here's one that says, hi, when and what do I need to do to protect my banana trees from freezing in the winter? Good question. Typically, people will either wrap the trunk or cut them to the ground and let them come back the next year from the ground. It's a lot quicker to come back if you leave the trunk intact. So what most people will do, and I'm going to get this tropical plant expert on here in the next couple weeks. Cutting off the top leaves once, you know, we get the first light freeze, you can cut those off, but leave the trunk intact and then wrap it up, and that's the best way to protect your banana. Okay, what's this one? Let's see here. I have these two plants. The long stem is coming up in our yard. The other one has light orange flowers when it opens. Boy, that's a real blurry lights. I'm not sure what that first one is. I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of time here. The second one is a plant we call a lazy cyda, Cyda procumbens. It's got a real cute little orange flower on it. I'll also refer you back to that book I was talking about earlier from Marshall Lindquist, Wildflowers of the Texas Hill Country. That, if I had time, I'd look it up for you right now, but you can find it in that book. Okay, what's Helen's topic? If I want to, no? Okay, never mind. All right, y'all. Let's see. We only got about a minute left. So again, if you will tune in tomorrow to my regular show, The Austin Gardener, from 10 to 12. We're now doing a two-hour show. Response has been wonderful. I'm really enjoying it. And so I hope you will tune in. And I appreciate you tuning in to KLBJ, period. This show is also very fun to do. But I think what we'll talk about tomorrow, and for the call I don't have time to take right now, is wildflower seed planting is a big topic this time of year. If you go to wildflower.org, Lady Bird Johnson website, there is a most wonderful article on planting bluebonnets. So if anybody wants to get into that today, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but go to wildflower.org and look at that extensive article they have on planting bluebonnets. Well, I got to go. I'll see y'all tomorrow, but be sure and stay tuned for Jeff Ferris. He'll be on right after this.